Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Oftentimes when some event has occurred the night before, or maybe just changing shifts, the most normal question for someone to ask would be, how did it go last night? And we can only guess at the reply an owner of a certain flock of sheep received when he asked his shepherds that question on a certain morning after a Christmas night long ago. And you just have to wonder, would the owner have believed them? Would he have suspected that somehow his shepherds has gotten into the eggnog? Would he perhaps have joined them in rejoicing? We don't know, but we know that these shepherds had themselves quite a night. So let's read Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 through verse 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to register, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the home of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, it came time for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, among whom those he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Well, Father, what an amazing story that you would announce your coming to lowly shepherds, and that they would be the first to tell this glorious story. And so I pray, Father, as we look once again at a familiar passage, that by your Holy Spirit and by your grace, we would wonder. We would be amazed afresh at the glories that are revealed here of a Savior, Christ the Lord, come to all people. So Holy Spirit, I pray, help me to rightly engage your word and preach your word. Help your people to hear that these truths might not only be a joy to us in this coming week as we celebrate Christmas Day with our families and friends, but throughout the year. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's three things that I want us to notice here in this passage. And the first thing is simply this. They've been waiting a very long time. We simply cannot appreciate the impact of this story if we don't understand the people involved here. It came to Israelites. These shepherds were Jews, they were Hebrews, they were Israelites who had been anticipating this occurrence for centuries. And even these shepherds would have immediately known what the angel was talking about. There would have been to them, no, what? Savior? City of David? Christ the Lord? What are you talking about? The angels surprised them, but they didn't surprise them with the content of their announcement. You know, even if they weren't able to quote chapter and verse, they knew the hope of a coming Savior. The prophets had told them that a Messiah King, God's anointed one, his Christ, was going to come and he was going to sit on David's throne and he was going to save his people from their enemies. One passage in particular, just as an example, Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." It's exactly what we've been talking about in this Advent season, this expectation, this hope. But then, after the last prophet Malachi spoke, 400 years of silence, 400 years of no word. And in the meantime, they had been suffering from various oppressors. At this point in their history, the Romans. So this was a time where there was very little good news. There was very little joy. There was very little peace for them. So we find this story that is full of suddenness and full of surprise. Shepherds just going about their day-to-day routine business when all heaven breaks loose to announce good news this day. The wonderful hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," just captures the impact of this, the emotional weight of this perfectly, when the songwriter said, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." We need to notice that they've been waiting a long time. Secondly, we need to notice that the news was exceptionally good. So the scene is these shepherds, and shepherds were blue-collar guys. They were probably very young, teenagers or even younger, and they're working in a field near Bethlehem. Luke tells us it's the same region, and they're just watching over the flock. Again, it was just a routine night. When here comes this angel accompanied by this bright, shining light that represented the glory of the Lord. And their response to this was one that was exactly what we could have expected. You notice they didn't say, "Hey, check it out. The angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shining all around us." No, they were filled with fear, just like every one of us would have been if that had happened to us. But their fears were quickly relieved when the angel says to them, "Don't fear, because I'm bringing you good news of great joy." Not just joy, great joy, genuine joy, unfeigned joy, lasting joy. Joy that transcends rich or poor or old or young or gender or race or religious background. It's joy for all of the people. And exactly what was this good news of great joy? Well, it's that a Savior that very night had been born, and that he is Christ the Lord. In other words, the one they'd been hoping for all along, the one that the prophets had told them about, he was finally here. However, you can imagine that the shepherds were a bit perplexed with the sign. Manger? What about a palace? Swaddling clothes? What about royal robes? But before the time they could ask this angel for clarification, all heaven breaks loose. We notice in verse 13 and 14, suddenly, this other shocking event, suddenly, this one angel is joined by a multitude of angels, a heavenly host, a mighty army of angels now shows up, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, in the highest, in his exalted place." Glory to God in his exalted place, but not just glory to God in his exalted place, and on earth, peace to those with whom he is well pleased, or as the NIV says, on whom his favor rests. And just as suddenly as the one angel and the multitude of angels appeared, just as suddenly as this all started, it ended. They were gone, and it was just back to the fields and the sheep and the shepherds. So the shepherds decided, let's go and see this thing that has happened that the angels had told us about. So in verse 17, when they arrived in Jerusalem in this stable, now, I think it can be very easy to kind of read into the picture here of what they saw, because all the pictures in our manger scenes, which are wonderful, but the typical manger scene, everyone is standing around this manger worshiping this little baby with a halo over his head. But that's not what these shepherds saw when they arrived. This scene was just so ordinary. Except, of course, for the fact that this baby had been born in a stable and was lying in a manger. The scene was ordinary. But nonetheless, the shepherds made known what the angel had told them. We can just imagine them saying, "Hey, do you know who this kid is lying in the manger?" And then all who heard it, so we know Mary was there, we know Joseph was there. It seems like there were bystanders, maybe others who couldn't find room at the inn and had to stay in the same place. Now, isn't it easy to imagine, if we want to really get the impact of a Bible story, you got to put yourself in there. Isn't it easy to imagine them thinking, sure, guys, the carpenter's kid here is the long-awaited Messiah, the Lord. Let's get these nuts out of here. After all, they hadn't seen the angels. They hadn't heard the report. But Luke tells us that they wondered. Brother Niff says they were amazed. Very typical reaction again. By the way, this doesn't necessarily mean that they believed. Sometimes we can be amazed by a story and not have faith in that story. Mary, however, we are told, treasured these words and pondered these words in her heart. Mary was an old hand at angelic revelation, wasn't she? So this message that the shepherds relayed from the angels was confirmatory to her, not revelatory. This wasn't new. What? But it confirmed what she had been told in a previous angelic vision. And then the shepherds just went back to their fields. They just went back to work. They went away praising and glorifying God. I look forward to interviewing all kinds of people in heaven. I think we're going to have an eternity just to talk to anybody we want to. And I think every Christian's story is going to be amazing. But I want to talk to these guys. Not only about this night, but don't you wonder, did they ever hear him preach? Did they know that this was the same person that they had seen that night long ago? Were they there at his crucifixion? Did they see him hanging on that cross? Did they see him risen from the dead? We don't know, but given the circumstances here, it's hard for me to believe that these shepherds weren't among those with whom God was pleased. So they had been waiting a really long time, and the news was exceedingly good. But the third thing we have to notice in hindsight is this: the news was even better than they ever could have imagined. And that night long ago, they couldn't imagine that there was better news than what they heard from these angels. But brothers and sisters, now in hindsight, we know that this news was better than they ever could have imagined, than they ever imagined that particular night. We can't really appreciate this story unless we know the things that they didn't know. For example, this baby was greater than they ever could have imagined. There was some information that Mary and Joseph had that they weren't privy to. John read it this morning from Matthew chapter 1. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. God with us. See, heaven broke in after 400 years of silence, not with just loud angel singing and proclamation. Oh, no, no, no. Heaven broke into the world much more quietly in the form of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. The baby was greater than they ever could have imagined. The saving was greater than they ever could have imagined. Not just God with them to save them from the Roman oppressors, but God with us to save us from the greatest oppressor, the greatest curse, our greatest enemy. God with us to save us from our sins. See, as cosmic as this event was, it was only the beginning of God's saving work. How could these shepherds have ever guessed? How could these shepherds have ever guessed that after this glorious start, that this baby would be despised and rejected by men? A man of sorrows who would be acquainted with grief. How could they ever guess that this baby would be arrested, falsely condemned, beaten, mocked, spat upon, and subject to the excruciating and humiliating death by crucifixion? And much worse than that, that God with us would be forsaken by his Father as he took all of the sins of all time upon himself. But how could they ever have guessed that his death would be the very means of saving them? How could they ever have guessed that his very death was the very means of saving us? And how could they ever have guessed that 3 days later that he would rise from the dead so that we might now have newness of life and in time that we would enjoy eternity? The baby was greater than they ever could have imagined. The saving was greater than they ever could have imagined. The peace was greater than they ever could have imagined. Because it wasn't just peace on earth, although how in these days, as Chris said, we long for peace on earth, but far, far more importantly, it was peace with heaven. It was peace with God, with whom there had been since that horrible day back in the garden, enmity and strife and separation. Oh, no, no. The peace was greater than they ever could have imagined, because it wasn't simply peace on earth. It was peace with heaven. And not only that, but it was peace within. It was a deep peace of the soul, a peace that could never be broken, a peace that could only come from God himself, a peace that only he could give. So the baby was greater, the saving was greater, the peace was greater, and the joy was greater than they ever could have imagined. I mean, they must have been thinking, how could the news ever be better? This is the highlight day. How could the news ever get any better? But oh, brothers and sisters, don't you find that each subsequent retelling of the story, each subsequent revelation and the gospels and the epistles, as our understanding grows, doesn't the news just get better all the time? Doesn't the news get better every Christmas? Doesn't our joy actually get greater the more we know this story? I can say with all honesty, I am more amazed and grateful at the gospel today than the day I first heard it. By God's grace, he was pleased to save me. And every believer, every one of you here today, every one of you watching, every believer can now, with great joy, with wonder, ponder each and every day that the favor of God should rest on me, that he would choose me, you, to hear and believe that your sins would be forgiven and mine would be forgiven, that he would adopt you and me as his sons and daughters, that he loves you and I, and he cares for us every moment of every day, and that we will spend all of eternity with him. Aren't these reasons for great joy that they could not even have begun to have comprehended? And it's not a joy, is it, that's temporary or transient? It's not a joy that's contained to one season a year where we get to experience this joy, but it's a joy that we get to experience every single day of our lives. It's a joy that goes so deeply into our souls that no circumstance that we ever walk around can ever touch it. Now the band can come on up. I want to finish with a word to our non-Christian friends who are either here or watching by live stream. First of all, we're so glad that you would join us today. I want you to notice a couple things. The good news is for all people. Specifically, it's unto you. It's unto you who aren't a Christian. See, every one of us needs a Savior. Every one of us at one time needed Jesus to save us. You, if you're here as a non-Christian friend, you need Jesus to save you from your sins. And here's good news for you. The this day that the angels announced is now every single day. That this day is today. It could be today for you. Now, this good news must be received by faith, but there is no reason it couldn't be received by you today. So this is our prayer for you as we close with singing. That heaven would break into your heart today, and that you would experience peace and joy this Christmas beyond anything you could ever imagine, because Jesus Christ has become your Savior. Amen.